worship you. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to slow it down for a second. And when Pastor James asked me, I think it was a Thursday, Friday, the Lord laid it on my heart some things. And at first I thought it was just me. And just thinking, you know, I said, no, that had to come from you, Lord, because I'm really not that smart. And he laid it on my heart about worship. And Brandon, we're not going to do that one, honey. He laid it on my heart about worship. And this is what he laid on my heart. Close your eyes, everybody, if you will, close your eyes. And just picture it's just you and Jesus. You're in a private concert with just you and Jesus with an audience of one. And you're there in your own, no distractions, no one around you. It's just you and Jesus. When we come to church, we come to see Jesus. We don't come to see, yes, we love everybody, but we don't allow distractions to enter in. Because if we did, we would miss what the word is being brought forth. We'll miss our time in worship. And the weeks are so busy. This is our time to be one with Jesus, to adore him, to love on him, to praise him. I'm going to tell you something. No matter what you're going through right now, the facts might be you're sick, you're poor, broke, busted, and disgusted. But I'm going to tell you what, it doesn't matter what the facts are. We serve a God who is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the one who knows the end from the beginning. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is going to carry you through whatever situation you are in. So when you start to love on him, you're not asking him for anything. You are giving him blessings. You're worshiping him. You're praising him. I promise you, your faith will rise. Your trust in the Lord will rise. And not only that, you will feel depression melt off of you. You will feel the chains fall off of you. You will feel the need to not worry about anything, your issues, your problems, because you're in that moment, you're going to feel elevated in the presence of God, and he's going to carry you. So as we sing a worship song, it's not about the song. It's not about how you sing. It's about how you worship him. It's you and him. Because I promise you, when you open your mouth, it will be a joyous sound to his ears. We're going to sing softly, Worship the Lord.
Very softly, so not much mic. Okay.
Worship. Sorry, y'all. One-on-one with him.
Praise him, the one that we adore. Sing Hosanna to the Lord of Lords. You're the great I am. So let us worship. thank you, Lord. Here we are, standing in your presence once again. We're lifting holy hands to
music, man. Just ever, you know, when you're in the presence of God, everything changes in your life. Everything shifts.
Yes, yes.
We are in His presence. We are in this sanctuary. This place represents the presence of God.
That's
and nothing else. We're not a club. We're not an entertainment center.
That's right.
This is the tabernacle of Holy God, where He abides.
Hallelujah.
Now I want us to sing that chorus one more time before I begin to bring the word. And understand whose presence you're standing in. They used to faint when they saw Elvis Presley pass out in the floor over a man.
Yes.
A man. We are serving a God.
God, yes.
An all-consuming fire.
Yes.
Whose beauty is so glorious that of days of old they couldn't even behold Him. They couldn't even look upon Him. They couldn't even encounter the glory that shone upon them. And now that glory lives inside of us.
Yes.
We're now His tabernacle.
Yes.
So let's sing that chorus. Start it out again, meaning let's sing it together.
We are standing in your presence once again, lifting holy hands to you. Here we are, basking in your glory one more time. In your presence here we are.
Thank you, Lord, that we're in your presence.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for making that way available. Thank you for removing the veil that kept you from me. You ripped that veil in half, opening access for me, God, to touch the very throne of mercy. Thank you for that, God, and we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Mindy. Thank you, Jody. Appreciate y'all. Y'all going to be seated. I'm going to have probably Melanie and Rodney come back up in a minute to sing a song, but I want to say a few things first. And you'll know this song, I promise. Not yet, but you'll know it. I want to read something. Oh, I'm sorry. Do we have any kids for Sunday school? Maddie? And is that all? That's all we got, isn't it? I guess today. Okay. We're talking this morning about I'll trust you now. I'll trust you now. And that's so hard to trust God in our now moments. so easy to look back and say, oh yeah, I knew God would move after he moves, right? But while he's not moving, it's hard. Thank you, Maddie, for your offering to the Lord. I want to read something Bill read in Sunday school, and I want to offer this to all of you guys. And it hit me this morning to say this. And for you watching on Facebook or the ones that will watch later on Facebook, I want to offer this to you. I know that things are a little difficult now, and people are really nervous about being around people. I get that. And I'm very mindful of that, and I don't make fun of that. I trust God for my life. However things turn out, I'm going to trust God. But I want to offer this for some of you. Bill absolutely is an incredible teacher. He absolutely brings such an incredible word. I was in there this morning, and I really mean this. And I've got some ADHD, I know I do. But Bill keeps my attention. I'm hanging on to everything he's saying. And I want to offer this. If you are nervous, especially you that are on Facebook, not coming at all, if you're nervous about being in a bigger group of people on Sunday mornings, come to Sunday school at 9 o'clock and leave after Sunday school. Come be a part of Sunday school. We're in a sanctuary. There's a very small group in Sunday school. And at least slide in, be a part of Sunday school, slide out to be part of hearing the word, because Bill does an incredible job, and I just want to really publicly honor him for what he does. He is doing a series right now on the Lord's Prayer, and he's breaking it down what the Lord's Prayer is. And how many of us have said the Lord's Prayer, right? Most of us know it by heart. You know, a lot of funerals, they do it at cemetery sites where everybody cites it together. Our Father which in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. We know that prayer. I want to read something Bill shared this morning. And he was too scared. He was too chicken to share. I said, I want you to share. I ain't gonna do it at least after the offering. I don't want to share this. But I want to share this. He printed this off. This is not for him, but he found this. And I thought it was very incredible about the Lord's Prayer. Those who can't pray the Lord's Prayer is what it's titled. Those who can't pray it. Now I want you to hear this. This just hits home really clear. If you don't know Christ, you can't pray our Father. Right? I've got one earthly father, that's my dad. Yes. The only one I call dad. Right. If you glorify yourself, you can't pray, hallowed be thy name. That's right. This is pretty good, isn't it? If you reject his rules, you can't pray, thy kingdom come. Now I want you to process what's happening here. The Lord's Prayer. If you won't submit, I love this one. If you won't submit, you can't pray, thy will be done. How many times we talk about that? Lord, I pray your will, and especially on Sunday mornings, you know, many got the keyboard going, man, the drums are going, the fog machine's blowing out, man, the lights are flashing, the Holy Ghost moving up in here. And you're praying, oh, I feel you. You're like a blues brother moment. You're floating up in the revival tent. I feel you, Lord. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah, let it be done. But then you get out there on Monday morning, all of a sudden the wheel just, Mindy, you crack me up. She got a fan stuck in her shirt at her face. Sorry. Melly thinks I'm bad. We pray, God, your will, can we feel good? But then it comes down to it. Do we really want God's will to be done? Because God's will being done means we must submit. Yes. We must surrender. Yes. And we don't like surrendering. It's not in our nature to submit. That's why we're rebellious by nature. That's why your two-year-old shows a lot more not submitting than submitting. Because it's not in our nature. I love that. If you won't submit, you can't pray thy will be done. If your life, oh, there's a ladybug. Hey, ladybug. I can't, yeah. That's my spiritual animal, by the way. I need to get a more manly one, but I can't help that's what it is. If your life is only for here and now, you can't pray on earth as it is in heaven. I love this one. If you are self-sufficient, you can't pray, give us our daily bread. Because you don't need no bread. Right? You're self-sufficient. You've got it. So what do you need God for if you've got it all and figure it out? If you won't forgive, woo, you can't pray, forgive us our debts. If you seek sin, you can't pray, lead us not into temptation. If you are a friend of evil, You can't pray, deliver us from evil. I love this one. If you build your own kingdom, you can't pray, thy kingdom come. You're not leaving any room for it, are you? If you want power, you can't pray, thine is the power. And the last one, and this is where I think hit this from time to time. If you always take credit, you can't pray, thine is the glory. I think that's pretty good. Come check Bill out. I know it's early. I know it's 9 o'clock. And if you just want to come for Sunday school and cut out service, I'm willing to share. I want you to hear the word. I want you to be blessed. I want you to gain spiritual growth. And this is an incredible series he's been doing on our Lord's Prayer. So I just think that's wonderful. We're going to read some scripture. And then I'm going to have Brody and Melanie do a song here. I don't know what part I'll do. I'll just have to see how things flow here. So just stay prepared, y'all two. And you'll know the song. You do it all the time. It's a regular. And we got words on the back of the screen. All right. First verse, Proverbs 3:5. Very familiar verse. We're talking about that I'm going to trust in you now. Here what the Bible says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Trust in God wholly, completely, and fully. And don't lean to your own thinking. Your own thinking gets you in trouble. Your own thinking is why you can't sleep at night. Your own thinking is why you're popping pills. Your own thinking is why, you know, you're drinking 10 cups of coffee a day. Don't think. Let God lead you and trust in Him as a child trusts in his father. Bill used an example this morning about when your child never has to worry about going to the kitchen and being nothing to eat. I mean, he automatically goes in there, flips the light switch on, and knows there's going to be something there to eat. He don't have to worry about providing food at 7 years old. There's going to be something in the house for that kid to eat. You know, he don't wake up every morning, oh, I wonder what hope, I hope there's food, and I hope, I mean, not unless, you know, someone's in poverty, but I'm talking about as a whole. I hope there's food, I hope there's, they know, they automatically wake up, go to the kitchen, and know there's cereal, there's oatmeal, there's toast, there's something in there for that kid to eat. It's trust. We should trust God for our daily bread. In the days of old, when they were leading the children out of Egypt, there was something called manna. And contrary to what Melanie says, it was not potatoes, but it was called manna. And this manna would form on the ground every single morning. And they had to go out and gather it pretty early because the heat of the day would spoil this manna and it would be no good to eat. So every day, and I think the revelation of that is, they couldn't go get a bunch of manna and just freeze it in a deep freezer, right, and save it. They had to go out that day and get it. The next day, I better go get it again to be sustained for this day. The next morning, go out and get it again. God provided for them what they needed every single day. Look at Psalms 118 and verse 8. It says this, "It is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in man." If we were as passionate, and I know we all have our feelings and we all have our earthly passions, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I'm speaking to the choir here because I've got my own passions on this subject as well. But if we were as passionate, as Mindy was talking about, of worshiping and trusting and celebrating Jesus as we was about this election, people is tore up about this, and I'm not saying we shouldn't be to a degree, however side you fall on, but I'm just saying my confidence is not in January 20th. My confidence is in the one who was, the one who is, and the one who always will be. So I don't put, see, everybody's worried. I got people I'm talking to who says, oh man, I hope they pass the stimulus check. Look, God is your provider, not a stimulus check. God is your provider, not the government. God Almighty is where all of our sources come from. Bill said this morning, you lose your job, trust God. You lose your paycheck, trust God. That's what it's all about. God is my source, nothing else. God makes a way when there is no way. God is the man, so to speak. And that's who I trust. It's better to trust God than put your confidence in man, because man will let you down every single time. But God is faithful. Look at Psalms 112. This is verse 7. It says this, He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. It actually means he shall not be afraid of bad news. That's what it means, bad news. Translation is bad news. He shall not be afraid of bad news. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. This is why, no matter what CNN tries to tell me, I don't care. Because I'm not listening to that bad news. My heart is not fixed on these pretty boy anchors. My heart is fixed on the anchor and the rock and my refuge, Jesus Christ. That's my heart's fixed on that. Because all we hear is bad news. But my heart's not fixed on the bad news. My heart's fixed on the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I already know who I belong to. I know who my father is. I know I'm his child. I already know what my heritage is. I already know what my future is. I already know where I'm going. I already know what's going to happen to me. All my pre-need funeral plans have already been made, so to speak. Right? I already know where I'm going. I already know where my grave plot's at, so to speak. Right? My grave plot's in the great kingdom of God, which there is no grave plot, of course. So I already know my destination. So that's all that matters. My heart will stay fixed on him. I will trust him through the bad news. Next verse is Jeremiah, and this is in the Amplified Version, so I want to read it. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 and 8 says this. Most blessed is the man who believes in, trusts in, and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confidence the Lord is. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, that spreads out its roots by the river, and it shall not see and fear when heat comes. I'm not going to fear whatever comes. Man, I'm like a tree. I'm rooted and I'm grounded, and my roots are in the Lord. See, if my roots were in the world, I'd always be like this, right? Always. I'd be like one of them, when you go by a car lot, they got them blowed up things that do that. I'd be like that my whole life. But I'm not. My heart is fixed. So no matter what news comes across the blotter, it doesn't cancel out the news that's already been established. It's already here. It's already true. God's word is unchangeable. His future for me is sealed. And no bad news that comes along is going to reverse or change that. So I'm like a tree. I will not fear when heat comes. But my leaf shall stay green. It shall not be anxious and full of care in the year of drought. Would you say we're in a year of drought this year? And what I mean by that, we're in a year of uncertainty. We're in a year of pain. We're in a year of fear. This has been like no year that we probably have ever, at least me, that I've ever lived through. So much has happened this year. But I will not be anxious, I will not worry, I will not fear, and I will not cease yielding fruit. Thank you, Jesus. That's the thing. I've been saying it the whole since March, I've been saying this. It's time for the church right now to be the church. Yeah. It's time for God's people to be God's people. We don't stop producing fruit because they try to kill the crop. We keep on producing because they can't kill the one that breathed life into us. We keep on producing fruit. We keep on going forward. We keep on sowing that seed. We keep on showing the world who the light is. We keep on uplifting our shepherd. He is God yesterday, today, and forever. He's not changed. We keep on producing fruit. How many times does a storm come in our lives that cancel out the fruit we produce because we allow the storm to choke it out? We allow our tribulation to pull us down. We allow sorrow to take away the song of our joy. We allow fear to rob us of our peace. We allow weakness to take away our strength. We allow darkness to blow out our light. No, we're the church. We're like a tree planted by the water, and our roots are in him. And the roots in God grow deep, and the roots are not easily moved, and the tree is not easily blown over, because we are established by the very hand of God. I will trust him now in this season, right now. I don't know what all of our nows are. Many are calling me. It seems like there's more and more things happening. There's more and more problems. There's more and more people going through stuff. There's more and more pressure. All I know is through the pressure, I will trust him. Through the storm, I will trust him. Through the dark season, I will trust him. Church, it is time now to trust God like never before. We can still celebrate when we can't see the victory because the victory lives inside of us. Trust him now in your now moments. I want to read some scripture of some people who trusted God now. Some examples of men of God who trusted him in their moments. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 12. It'll be on the screen if you don't have your Bible. Genesis 12, verse 1 through 4. The Lord said to Abraham, or Abram, get thee out of your country, away from your kindred, away from your father's house, unto a land I will show you. He didn't know where he was going. It wasn't already mapped out. It wasn't already established. God just says, rise up and go. Where do I go? I'll show you where to go. Trust me now. Don't have the plan all mapped out. Just trust me now, for I have great things planned for you. He says, I want to make you a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless them that bless you. I will curse them that curse you. And in you all families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he left. He wasn't in a rocking chair eating Bojangles the rest of his life. He said, okay, God, I'm established. I'm comfortable. I know what I know. And you're asking me to completely change my life for something I can't see or something I don't understand. But he obeyed God. He listened to God. And we sure know the rest of the story of Abraham and how that turned out. He made a good move. Exodus 14. Here's a man named Caleb who exercised his faith in a now moment. He didn't let fear rob him of the trust he had in God. Numbers 14, verse 10 says this. This is actually Moses. When Pharaoh drew nigh to the children of Israel, they lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And they said, I love how fear reverts us back to panic. Because there was no graves in Egypt, you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore thou hast dealt this with us to carry us out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell you in Egypt? Oh yeah, we told you, Moses, we like being slaves. Keep us here. Saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. It'd be better to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't at all. Here's the deal. I heard a saying on a movie, I think it's so profound, says, either get busy living or get busy dying. You got a choice. And if we are living our lives in complete fear, we're not living anyway. We're not living at all. We're already dead if we're letting fear dictate our lives and how we live our lives. Now they're saying, Moses, should let us alone. We're trapped. We're going to die out here. We try to tell you, leave us alone, blah, 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 blah. Verse 13, Moses said, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. Today, right now. Church, God is wanting to show you something today, but you got to stand still and walk in power and let fear go away and say, God, I'm standing still to see what you have for me now, in my now moment. Remember the story. They were trapped by this body of water called the Red Sea. And then Pharaoh's army is on the other side. They're completely pinned in with nowhere to go. And Moses said, stand still. Today you're going to see God move. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall not see them again ever, forevermore. The Lord shall fight your battle, and you shall hold your peace. The Lord will fight your battle, and you shall hold your peace. Here is Moses seeing God move, who believed God in a now moment. He believed him. Numbers 13, this is Caleb now talking. This is when the spies went out to spy out the land to conquer. And these spies, eight of them come back with a negative report. But Caleb did not. I'm going to switch mics, Brent. Is my mic over here? Hang on a minute. Make sure that box is on for me, Brandon. All right, this is Caleb. Sorry, guys. All right. We are on verse 25. Turn my volume up, Brandon, and turn that other box on up there, the bottom box. All right, 13, 25. They returned from scouting out the land after 40 days. They came to Moses and Aaron and to all of Israel, and they brought them word, and they showed them this land's fruit. And they told Moses, we went to the land you sent us. It does flow with milk and honey, and there is fruit. It's a good place, they're saying. But, remember I said that word, but's never good when it comes to faith? It's never good when it comes to faith. But and faith don't go together at all. But the people who dwell there are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large, and we saw the sons of Anak of great stature and courage. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, they dwell in the mountains, the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb steeled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once, that means now, and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. He was in the now moment. I serve a God that's now. I trust him now. He done told us to go to the city. He done told us he's going to give us this land. He done told us he's got a promise for us. Yes, there are going to be obstacles in our life. There are going to be battles. That doesn't mean God's not in it, and God's not going to bring you through it, and God's not going to bring you to it just because there's battles. We keep trusting God now. We've seen Abraham. We've seen Moses. We've seen Caleb. Let's look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. In Joshua, Moses died. He did not get to go in the promised land. He died right before he got in, but the plan wasn't over. Just because something dies doesn't mean God's plan does. God's plan keeps going. Joshua 1:1 says this, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass, the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, saying, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your feet shall tread, I've given to you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, to the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. In verse 5, he closes out by saying this, there shall not be any man able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. God has not failed you, and God has not forsaken you. He is the same church. It doesn't matter if the church landscape has changed or fear has changed things. It's not changed who God is. He is still, as Mindy says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I've always been, and I'll always be. As every season comes and goes, I remain steadfast, unmovable, and unshakable. I am God Almighty, and I change not. I'm the God of good times. I'm the God of bad times. I'm the God of the mountain. I'm the God in the valley. But the point is, I'm God, period. Trust me now. We don't have to see the end result. We just got to trust God now. You know how much peace we'd walk in if we truly walked in that mindset? God, I trust you. God, I trust you. Give us this day. Lord, give me today my daily bread. I don't know what it is. Don't know what I need. Don't know what's coming. But I know you've got what I need for today. So, God, I trust you for today. And then I'll worry about tomorrow when tomorrow becomes today. Something else Bill said in Sunday school, if I remember, I would have wrote it down and have a pen. It was wonderful. He said, if you worry about tomorrow, you're not really trusting your Father to provide. Think about that. If I'm worried about tomorrow, I'm really saying, God, I don't trust you to provide. I don't trust you to make a way. So why do we worry about tomorrow? God, you know,
Melly has a great mentality. I wish I had more of it. She has the Hakuna Matata mentality. She really does. We're wired totally different. But she has the, now she don't go out in the jungle eating bugs and stuff, but she has the Hakuna Matata mentality. You know, remember in Gone with the Wind, Scarlett O'Hara, I think it was Scarlett O'Hara, says, "I'll think about that tomorrow." Yeah. Melly has that mentality. No matter, we have been through storms in our lives, of course, like every married couple, and you got kids and family. We've been through our battles. And it never fails how she can still lay down and just go to sleep. And I'm wired and stressed, and I'm my heart's palpitating, and I'm like, "How can you sleep?" "Well, I gotta sleep. I mean, the problem will be here in the morning when I wake up." I mean, what a mentality. I can't grasp that mindset of what that must be like to be able to literally just shut down like a robot. I mean, that's her. Times I'm talking to her, laying in bed, and she's, "Melly? Melly? Oh, okay." I mean, it's instant. I mean, instant how she can fall asleep. But you know what? If I had that same peace in Christ, I could do that, couldn't I? God, I'm not going to stress, let my heart palpitate because I'm worried about what might happen or what's going to happen or even what did happen. Because God, I'm going to trust you now. God can take things we go through negatively in our life, right, and turn it into a positive thing of our life. And we've seen that many times, that God brought us through something we didn't like, but he positioned us in something that was better. So trust that. Let's read. I got two more verses. Let's just skip down to Psalms 37.5, Brandon. Psalms 37.5. Here is what David said. He said this. 37.25, I'm sorry. "I have been young, and now I'm old." You're still young, darling. "Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." I've been young and I've been old. I was young, I'm older now. But I've never seen God forsake me. And I've never been without. I've never seen God cut off his supply to my life. Ever. No matter what I've been through. Through good times and through bad times. You know what? We've been through hard times in our world and our country before. I was thinking about the Civil War. What a horrible time that was for our country. As we have families and friends and the same nation fighting each other. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of young men slaughtered and buried. Cities burnt to the ground. Anger and hate and protest and all this passion on both sides that was for those 4 years of just, it was a horrible, horrible season for most people to live in that time. And then we get through that. And then there's other bad times, right? We had the Great Depression that was, I guess, the worst probably financial, you know, part of our nation in many, many years hit. And people lost jobs and there's food lines. People waited to get food and all of that. And we went through different wars and 58,000 in Vietnam and all the stuff we've seen, 9/11 and those thousands that died that day just going to work. We've been through bad times. We've been through bad seasons. We've seen tragedy and heartache. But God has not forsaken us in any of that. I don't have all the answers to why things happen. I don't understand all the answers to why things are allowed to happen. But I do know who's in full control. And all I can do is, "Father, I trust you now. I don't understand it, but I trust you. I may not agree with it, but I trust you, God. I know you've got my best interest and your people's best interest and the kingdom's best interest at hand. And things must happen in order for the kingdom to be birthed. So I trust you as part of the process of going from this into that. I trust you. And I will not fear. I'm going to trust you now." Fear is one of the weapons the devil uses to the best of his abilities to bring us into a place of not trusting God. Fear is real. Fear can paralyze us. Fear can cripple us. Fear can destroy us. Fear can mess our mental mind up. It can mess our physical body up. Fear can overwhelm us. Fear can overtake us. He attacks us through our dreams, that Satan does. He attacks us sometimes through our family. He attacks us through our workplace, trying to bring fear upon our lives. But whom shall I fear? If God is for me, whom shall be against me? I trust God now. I was at the cemetery yesterday and talking to the guys that work out there, and they saw me on Facebook or something. They were talking about the COVID and says, "Does Pastor, you're not afraid of catching COVID?" I said, "No, I'm not afraid. I'm really not afraid." And I said, and I told the guy at the cemetery, I said, "I'm not afraid." I said, I know Jesus. He goes, "Well, I know a lot of folks know Jesus got the COVID." I said, "I know. But if I go with COVID, I'm with Jesus. I'm not afraid. Because I believe, if you believe what the Bible says, that all of our days are numbered, and that every day is in God's hands, and that one day all of our names, whether it's by the grave or by Him coming back to change us, every one of us, our names are going to be called. And nothing God does is a mistake. And nothing goes by saying, "Oh, I didn't mean for that to happen," or "I missed that." And so if I trust that all of my days in God's hands, because see, I'm not trying to plan on how I'm going to leave this earth. Me and God's talked about how I want to leave. Whether He agrees with it or not, I don't know. We've talked about it. But I don't know what's going to happen. People die in car wrecks. You know, they die swimming accidents. They die workplace accidents. They fall off, you know, a cliff. They, you know, die of disease. They die of sickness. They die of heart attacks, die of strokes. You know, drug overdoses, suicide. I mean, there's all kinds of ways people die. And so I told the guy at the cemetery, I said, "I'm going to tell you something. I've got a much higher chance of dying from getting in my car and leaving here and going home than I do of dying from the COVID, far as percentages, much higher." And so what I'm saying is, I'm not going to live my life in fear when I know who my King is and who my God is. I trust Him no matter what. No matter what comes my way. God, You are God, and I trust You in my now moment. Faith is all about trusting Him now. There's no trust, there's no faith if you already know what's going to happen or after He brings you through it. It's right now that you trust God. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I've got a wife. I've got kids. I've got parents. I've got a life. We've got a church. I mean, there's a lot of things in my life that if I live my life worrying about what if, I'll be tormented. So I'm like, "Lord, You're in control, and I will not fear. You are God. You are my King, and I choose to trust You now." And I understand that we need to use common sense, and I understand the precautions of what's happening right now, and I know many people around me that are sick right now, and I'm very compassionate of that. But I'm not going to shut my life down and just and live in fear because of what might happen. There's a lot of things that might happen that never will happen. That's that same moth, isn't it, Mel, you've been talking about? Oh, it did? Oh, glad it didn't sting you, brother. Wow. Tony said, "I thought the spirit got a hold of him, that thing sting me." You might have a revival in here, brother. He jumped up. Oh, Tony got it. Woo-hoo, hallelujah. It's like that Ray Stevens, the squirrel went berserk. I got to show that video again. It's such a funny video. Squirrel went berserk in the something first church. Oh, my gosh. Rodney, Mel, why don't you come up here if you would, and I get ready to sing this song. This song is God of Angel Armies. God of Angel Armies. And y'all know this song. And as we sing this song, I want you to hear the words that were said this morning and let this message marry with this song and understand that, yes, there's a lot we can be afraid of. There's a lot of things. I mean, and I know our world has changed, and I am very respectful of that. I really am. I don't get up on people's business, and I try to keep myself. But church, I'm just, you know, I was talking to someone the other day. They've not been out of their house since March. I said, "You've not left your house since March?" I mean, church, If I believe that God goes before me and God is all around me, I live my life for Him. You know, the things they're saying not do, I didn't do anyway. I'm not going to be sneezing and not covering my sneeze. I'm not going to be coughing on Jody. I'm not going to be doing those things. I wash my hands, not like she does, Lord. But I wash my hands, not like you do. Lord, have mercy. She's one big...
clean girl.
She's one big sanitizer. I think if you did this to her
always
head...
Have been,
I think if you did this
now.
To her head, it'd come out. I mean, she just... I bet she washed her hands 50
cleanliness
times a day.
Is next to godliness.
Oh, my goodness. I touched her hands one night and cut myself. I said dry. But, so I do wash my hands, but not like she does. So, I do believe in doing things we're supposed to do, of course, and being respectful. But, man, I'm not going to bury my head in the sand. And I'm just not going to freak out, you know, on everything going on. Because church, we talk about it, there'll be other things come along after this. There's another new thing going to come, another new thing, another new storm, another new sickness, another new something's going to come along. And we need to react the way God calls us to react, and that is faith. We're people of faith, or supposed to be people of faith. And I want to address this as well for some of you that may wonder, because I don't want anybody to feel funny about this, and I truly mean this, and it's for you watching on Facebook as well. As a pastor, you know, at this church, and many churches are, they're doing it mixed or partly or fully. It depends on what pastor you talk to and what church you go to. I am not enforcing you to wear a mask in this church. But masks are definitely welcomed if you feel comfortable. I promise you. If you want to put a mask on that makes you feel safer to be here, by all means, put your mask on and come to church. I mean that. I want you to make that decision. Why are you laughing, Mindy? I'm sure. I want you to feel comfortable. Okay, I don't want you to feel like, well, because James ain't wearing a mask. No, it's not that. Okay, we all make our decisions. I feel like you're an adult, and it's up to you to take care of your health and how you feel comfortable. Okay, and so if a mask makes you feel comfortable, please put one on and wear it, and be here, you know, with us. So I just want to say that I'm not anti-mask. I just want everybody to make their decision and what they feel comfortable with for them. That's all. Planet Fitness is requiring you to wear a mask the whole time you're working out. It's insane. I walked off the machine the other day. I got so mad because these little, I know it's not their fault. I know, before y'all start making Facebook posts, don't blame the teenager. I know, it's not them. I get it. I know. But I'm on the elliptical, okay? I'm at the 4-mile mark. I've been going 45 minutes, okay? I got my mask below my nose. It's on my mouth still, but below my nose, you know, because I kind of want to live. Little girl comes by and says, or a little guy comes by and says, huh, can you pull your mask up? I said, man, I can't breathe. Well, it's the executive order. I said, well, I'm done. Stop my machine. I didn't even clean it. I walked off and didn't even clean my machine. I went to the locker room, got my duffel bag, and hit the door. Now, was that wrong? Probably. But I'm like, come on. I mean, there was nobody. I'm on the elliptical, and this is, I told none of this. I was the only one on my whole row, nobody around me, and the row in front of me. I was the only one within 50 feet. Nobody's around me for 50 feet. It ain't like I'm doing this when I'm breathing.
That's me.
I'm not that bad of shape. I just needed to be able to breathe a little bit. But you know what? If I want to keep this great body I've got to do what they say. So I put the mask on, and I'm... You know, I'm doing some cheating, you know, I'm pulling it back and, you know. But anyway, so here's what I'm saying. And it's welcome, and if you feel comfortable, by all means, wear one, okay? I'm not anti-mask. I want everybody to make their decision. There's times I do put one on when I have to go certain places. If I'm around a close quarters, went to a restaurant the other day, and we had to come back through a tight place, the door, there's a bunch of people there, so I put mine on to get through the crowd and took it back off. So I'm respectful when I need to be. But I... but I want y'all to use your own judgment. All righty. Let's stand our feet. I want to pray, and then we'll go into this song.